Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And what's up, everybody? Welcome to another night of Nights at the Roundtable. It's your boy, man. Manny Freshel.
All right.
We got my queen over here, Angela Johnson. We got Bo Beast over here, Lise Murphy, Be Real, Brandon Smith.
What's up?
So yes. Nice to be with you guys. And we're incredibly grateful for all the amazing feedback we've been getting. Yeah. A lot of you have been saying that it feels like you're sitting at the table with us, which is completely the idea from the jump. You know, we were a little weary and scared that it's like, oh man, are people going to think this is cheesy? But at the same time, nobody has thought that because it's authentic what we do here. We're not like making it up. This is what we do on a normal basis. And we're so glad that you guys are feeling like you're included and involved because that is the entire point. So, and I'm also pretty impressed that we've had no one comment on the wine negatively. Thank you for all of your opinions.
Well, Manny, it's because you give such good details about
the
wine.
I mean, yeah.
These are straight from vineyards.
Vineyards.
Fantastic
like straight
insights.
To vineyard to table.
Vineyard to table.
Today, shoot. Though, I'm on the kombucha because I'm not drinking.
She had a big night last night.
Wine right
special,
now.
Special, yeah. Thank you for all the opinions and different wines that you guys want us to try. So we're going to get around to that stuff. But today, Bobise is going to tell us about this one.
Elise is going to tell us about this one. This, my friends, is the Sterling Vintners Collection. That sounds like I'm like German or something. Vintners Collection Cabernet Sauvignon. It is an award-winning, an award-winning collection, guys. And it's sourced from select vineyards around California.
Ah.
So it's a Cabernet is my absolute favorite wine.
Same. Why so? Why so?
Well, technically smooth, low sugar. So it's better for you.
Tastes good.
It's better for you. It's better for me. and it is underlined with notes of vanilla and spice and everything nice. So
with that said,
cheers.
Amazing.
Yes.
Cheers them up.
Let's partake.
All right. I'm going to try it.
Mine tastes like trilogy.
Yep. Just tastes like sour milk to me.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I really wish I had a better palate for wine.
I have a
I don't because
palate.
I will. Yeah. You learn. I think I've only tasted one wine where I could feel like, ooh, this is like I can feel everything that they're talking about.
Do you remember
about.
What it was?
I don't. It was for red my birthday wine. Dinner last year. At that steakhouse.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, wait. Was I there?
No, you weren't there.
Oh, okay.
At least you weren't there. There. Manny was there.
I was like, oh, no. That was the other birthday dinner. We were at the other one.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe we should get like a wine connoisseur in one time to teach
we
us
We had
things.
One come to our house before. He came. They came and they took us to a wine shop. Oh, we bought okay, a bunch yeah. of wine and they came back. So we bought a cheap wine, a middle of the road wine, and then an expensive wine. And they were like, we just want your honest feedback. And we drank each one. And they videotaped us. It all tastes like feet to me. So
expensive feet. But just yes, feet. I agree. Let's bring somebody in
to
here
teach
to
us.
Like, teach us. 100%. I would love that.
Yeah, we'll do it.
If
we'll
you're
do
listening
it.
And you either know somebody or you are somebody, let us know. Because
yeah.
that would be fun.
Yeah.
Come be on the podcast.
Come
through.
Back over here. Okay, so check it. Today, we have a very, I think, an important topic because it's one that people talk about it a lot, but another thing that you guys have really said that you're impressed with how honest and open we are, which is what we're going to continue to do. Mm-hmm. We don't have any other way to be. So today we're going to talk about forgiveness. And
forgiveness.
It's heavy. It's more than saying sorry.
Forgiveness.
Just friends. It's a good movie. I don't know if it'll ruffle feathers. Here's the thing about forgiveness.
I mean, if we haven't ruffled feathers already, I think are intact.
This is a different kind of feathers. The feathers you're referring to are butt feathers. You know, people get a stick up their butt and they get mad.
But
this is heart feathers. This is feathers around the heart because
so many feathers.
When you talk about forgiveness, the first thing as a listener, you like, I think you go to when you're holding on to something of unforgiveness. The first thing you usually feel is you don't know my story. Like you don't know me. You don't know how bad I was hurt. You don't know. So for
when
us,
you weren't there.
Yeah. So for us to say that forgiveness is good or it's something that you should do or blah, 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 it can tend to be like, well, you don't know. You don't know what I've been through. So it's easy for you to say, I should forgive.
Got it. Yeah.
So that's what I mean. And I hope that we don't ruffle feathers in that way. I hope that you hear our hearts and understand that our only goal for you to understand is forgiveness is something that if you want true freedom, forgiveness is literally the road to that, especially in an area of your life. I remember the first time I was ever confronted with the opportunity. And I think I kind of talked about it maybe. Anyways, I was in Bible college and the first time I ever got rejection.
Oh, yeah.
That chick, the Canadian chick, which I'm totally cool with now.
For 2 days.
When she broke up
with
me.
Sorry to bring that up again.
I was 2 days. It was a magical 2 days. It was magical.
I'm sure it was special.
48 hours.
A lot can happen.
It's your own Hallmark movie, babe.
A lot can happen in 48 hours. Anyway, so we were briskly walking through the courtyard, holding hands. Yes, birds were talking to her. Squirrels were talking to me.
Wow,
and
Snow White?
It was that. Yeah, it was that intense. Except I was Snow Black. So
okay.
So when she left me so abruptly, I was hurt, and she has not done it once but twice, and even nay I say thrice. She did it, and my friends were like, oh, she's gonna do it. And I was like, nah, man, I think it's different. And then she did it, and the first thing they did was like, we told you, she's such a bitch, she's such a this, she's such a that. And they just started downing her. And I remember that day that God showed me, he was like, man, you have a choice right now. You're gonna forgive this girl, or you're gonna hate her. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad I chose forgiveness, because it started something in my life that now when people did something to me, the first thing I would run to is forgiveness. Like I knew I had to do it. Don't get me wrong. I'll be pissed a little bit. Like I'll be mad that somebody did something to me, but I remember what happened after I forgave her and the freedom that happened in my life. Dude, and I felt so light while everyone else around me was like so bitter. Mm-hmm. Like the dudes were just, they were just bitter that they got dumped. And they sounded more like whack to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I think I'm going to stay on this side.
Yeah.
And so it created a habit in my life to make sure that I always chose forgiveness. So I'll get into more about one of the hardest times I had to forgive, but that's what I'm opening the floor to.
I have a question to that story. So
who is she?
Yeah.
Kidding.
Tell me her name.
We're super cool. I showed you a picture
of her.
What's her
Instagram? No, I'm kidding.
I showed you.
What? Okay, so you say they seemed bitter and you're like, nah, I think I'm going to stay over here on this side. What actually helped you stay on the side of forgiveness and not go into, because when your feelings are hurt and hurt turns into anger, so how do you just choose to forgive? Like,
I mean, I think it's the same way you choose to be angry.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't resonate.
I think it's easier because anger comes easy to us. Like, there's a part of us when we get hurt, we always do this. When we get hurt by someone, we instantly make it a game. Like, you got the people that are against you, the people that are for you. You want to make sure that in this scenario, you are the victim. That you make sure that everybody knows that this person did you wrong.
Right.
So everybody be on my side. Right. Console me. He or she is the jerk.
Yeah.
This is a game. The more I can get people to understand my side, then I win. But the more I did that, the only people that are around me were creating like the same negative energy. Like, they weren't free. They were just as equally angry as I was. And it didn't feel good. At the end of the day, it just didn't feel good. Because I would go home at night, I would still cry. I would still ask the same questions, but I got no answers. Mm. I just got a lot of negative feelings. And it kept just pushing me towards that. When I finally was just like, I'm going to try this forgiveness thing. Because we preach about it. We, you know, everybody talks about it. Oh, forgiveness is divine. All this stuff. And I'm like, whatever. Again, you don't know what I went through. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm going to test this crap. I'm going to test it. I'm going to forgive her. And I'm going to see how this feels. So every day I was like, I'm going to forgive her. Because I know one day she's going to come and she's going to look me in my face. And I'm going to be able to tell her, look, I forgave you. I love you. I get it. And so I just, every day I would tell myself, I'm going to forgive her. I don't know what she went through. I don't know what she's going through. She could have been hurt. She could have been feeling a myriad of things that I just didn't know what was going on in her life. And so I just kind of like talked myself into giving her the benefit of the doubt. And sure enough, like I said in the last pod, I found out that, you know, like she had a death in her family and she was just fresh off of that. And I'm like, I wonder what I would have been like if I had that happen to me. So I just chose to think positive. I chose to think forgiveness. And eventually it just started creating like positive things inside of me. Like I was happy. Like I legitimately was happy while everybody else around me was still bitter off of the same stuff. And I was like, damn, this is a vibe for me. Like I like being happy.
What was the time period there? Because I get what you're saying, but in a way I think that it could be like, almost feel like, oh yeah, that's just my natural choice. I just choose to forgive.
Because no, 6 months of crying.
Yeah.
6 months of weird ass crying.
Sorry.
6 months. It took 6 months to just stop crying.
That's your
crying.
First heartbreak though.
Yeah. No, I would be typing and I would literally be working on homework and I would just keel over. Like
I can't.
And I would just
man,
I would just fall on the floor. I would just fall.
Mid assignment.
Just fall on mid-typing. The floor. Mid typing. Wouldn't even finish. I would just start crying. Aww. So I was hurt.
Like, no wonder your friends were mad.
I was hurt. I felt stupid. But one of the best things my friend ever told me, he was like, look, don't ever feel stupid because you love someone.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, be honest with yourself. Appreciate that you have the capacity to love someone.
Well, I would say this then. I think forgiveness starts with honesty. Honestly admitting that your feelings were hurt. And sometimes we get embarrassed because of that. So whether it's 2 days or a marriage or it's your parents have done something or a friend or you feel stupid because the name they called you, though you shook it off, really hurt you. And I think it's starting with admitting what they did hurt my feelings. And that phrase, you hurt my feelings, feels like a childish phrase.
Sure.
But I think it's childlike. And to bring scripture, the Bible says we have to get back to being like a child. I think there is authority when we're able to be honest with our feelings, first of all. And so I think the decision to forgive didn't come until you're honest with the fact that this hurts as bad as if this was a divorce.
Well, that's why I was grateful for my boy Dave. He hit me at the beginning. So it took 6 months of crying. But the entire time I was, as I'm crying,
making a decision,
I was like, I forgive her. I forgive her. She didn't mean it. She didn't mean it. And maybe she did mean it. Maybe she didn't. That wasn't for me. It was just setting, it was trying to set a habit in my heart that when I thought of the pain that was done to me, I gave a benefit of the doubt or a hopeful understanding of like, man, they may be going through something.
Right.
And I understand, you know, you hear the saying, hurt people, right? Mm-hmm. You've heard it before. So I just wanted to be like, you know what? I may not understand what they're going through. And I know that them hurting me was probably an outpouring of them being hurt themselves. Mm-hmm. So I just, even though I had no context, she totally just did me wrong and didn't never apologize that whole year. I chose to believe it even through the tears. And I felt dumb. Don't get me wrong. I felt real dumb. But I'm glad my boy Dave hit me at the very beginning because he came over to console me and he was just like, don't ever feel dumb for loving somebody, right, bro. Like, that's one of the most beautiful things that you can do. Just be careful who you share your heart with. That was what he left me with. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, Dave, I'm going to follow
through,
that.
Come through,
Dave. Yeah. So it took 6 months of crying and then another like 3 or 4 months of like positive reinforcements, but I never cursed her. I never said one negative word about her. I never, 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 okay. never. So and when I saw her next semester, it was like everything that the Bible talks about. It was everything that people tell you about how rewarding forgiveness is because she looked me in my face, I looked in hers, and it was good. Like we were good and she felt it.
Yeah.
So it was just a beautiful thing.
Do you think, so I'm thinking of a certain situation with this guy that I say, I forgive you. I say in my mind, I forgive him. But the second somebody brings up his name, I go, ugh.
That's so real.
Like, how does that mean that I haven't forgiven him? Or what? Because, and then God, don't even get me started talking about the situation. Mm-hmm. If somebody says like, hey, have you ever been in a situation where you felt like a guy was like manipulating you and using the Bible to do it? And I'd be like, ugh. girl, let me tell you. And then I would get real deep into it. Does that mean I haven't forgiven?
No, I think, well, I don't know. I, this is such a journey I'm on, right? Yes, I mean, no,
it depends.
But I would, something that recently I heard on another podcast, I started listening to podcasts since we started one. I had never listened to them. They're fun.
Yeah. yeah, there's a lot of them too.
Great. Yeah. So thank you guys for choosing ours.
Yeah,
appreciate you.
Seriously.
But I listened to something. Lisa, I'm going to get her name wrong. Lisa Tykehurst.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is.
Right. So she wrote a book. It's not supposed to be this way. Phenomenal book. But she did this podcast with her therapist, and then this theologian that helps her write sermons and get the biblical foundation and stuff like that, which I thought was phenomenal because she was coupling theology and therapy, and the two are the same, actually. You can't separate them, but that's for another time. But she's talking to her therapist, right? And they're talking about forgiveness. So her husband, I think he had an affair or he cheated on her. I'm not sure which one it was, but she went home and she was like, I'm going to forgive him. And this was while they were still separated. And so she forgives him, but then the next day a trigger comes up, which is very normal when you've been hurt, right? Uh-huh. So you've said, I'm going to forgive this person, make the decision. Someone says their name and you're like, mother, oh, I guess I haven't forgiven them. Well, she said, no, and this is what I took from it. We have been teaching it wrong. So I have been teaching forgiveness wrong in church for a lot of years. And I've learned it wrong because I heard it was a decision. I forgive you. And then, yeah, well, great. You're forgiven. So then when the trigger comes up and you have this anger, then you suddenly feel shame, which is its own cycle.
Right.
And then you get more mad at them because I wouldn't feel shame or feel this anger if it wasn't for them or what they did, but I forgive you. It's not, and that's why I was saying it starts with getting honest with the fact that what they did was not okay. What they said hurt my feelings. So from there, forgiveness is a two-part process. There is the event and the decision to say, and I'll take you for an example if that's okay. But this guy, I'm going to forgive him for the manipulation, for whatever that situation, that event was, that situation. Uh-huh. I choose to forgive you. And however you want to mark that moment, you mark it. Maybe you write their name down. You put it in an envelope. You make a big celebration of that moment because it's a really big deal when you finally decide, I want to forgive them. Because that takes a journey for people. And so then the second part is the journey. So you've forgiven them for the fact of what they've done. Uh-huh. And then you go on the journey to forgive them for the effects of what that has now caused you. So every single time a trigger comes up or the aftermath or the emotions or the names brought up and it just makes you want to feel like you're going to shoot through the roof. It's that breath. Okay, I'm now in the second part of this journey. God, this still really hurts. Their name was brought up and I really want to say the crappy things about them or let everybody know what actually happened. Or I want to say, yes, I can relate to somebody manipulating me and here's my story. But God, and then another podcast, Manny sent us the other day about what we rehearse, we begin to cement in our brain. So every single time I tell the story of what my ex-husband did to me in a way that doesn't have a perspective of either gratitude or what God's teaching me or something that is positive, I am wiring into my brain the negative effects of that.
Ooh, that's good.
So for me, it's been a two-part
journey. And like I said, it's 6 months. It took 6 months of even
6 months for every 2 days, I hear, is the ratio.
It's a proper ratio.
Last joke, I swear. That was the last joke
like,
on it.
Forgiveness for me too. I had that kind of connotation growing up of like, hey, it's just a choice. I forgive you. But you realize that it is a process.
You must be like a church kid. Then,
oh, I am a church kid to my core. Sometimes I like stuff will come out of me and I'm like, church. I can't escape it. And we used to have this huge tree in our front yard, the house I grew up.
I feel a sermon coming.
And illustrated sermon. Like I wish I could have like a baby Groot right here.
Yes, baby like... Groot.
And this tree over the years, like its root system was so crazy that we didn't really know like how deep these roots on this tree went. So one day I'm headed to school and all of a sudden we see a bunch of crap from our toilet. Like literally all of our poo from our sewage is seeping out into our grass.
So no.
And as soon as I walk out, I'm like, oh my God, it smells like shit. And you're like, oh my God, it's shit all over our grass, literally. And we come to find out it was all the roots from this tree.
Dang.
And so I always see forgiveness almost like this tree. So it was growing out of control up top. Mm-hmm. And that's what you can see. So sometimes a lot of it with the forgiveness, like you can see like in my life, like it's I can be around this person. Like I used mm-hmm. to hate them, but I forgave them and I could be around them. And this is kind of what you feel on the outside. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until years later where we chopped off the top, but the roots were still there. Mm-hmm. And they were in places that we couldn't even see.
Wow.
So it was this huge, long process to get all the roots out from under all these things that it was affecting. And I feel like there's moments in forgiveness. Like I can speak of one, my mom and I's relationship now is amazing. She's like my best friend. But during which I've talked about her and my dad's divorce. And I remember a season having so much like just anger to a point of where I almost grew to hatred towards my mom. Mm. And I just felt like, you let me down. And at the same time too, I wasn't seeing the whole picture, which is funny because unforgiveness never allows you to see what's really happening.
Ooh.
Like you're blind in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
And so I'm a blind kid. I'm carrying all this anger. And I just remember having these different moments of being around my mom and getting triggered and remembering like, you did that. And I was just like, I would step back from the moment. I'd like step away and think, oh my God, like I didn't really forgive her. Mm. And then I just remember thinking about that tree in our front yard. And I was just like, the thing about unforgiveness is it grows so fast. And it can go so deep in us. Mm-hmm. And there's roots that we don't know about.
Wow.
And in order to move forward, you're going to get triggered.
Yeah.
Like that's part of moving in the process of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you start discovering these roots inside mm-hmm. of you and you're like, oh, okay. Remove it. I give it up. I let go because I want something better. Mm. Unforgiveness is like keeping our hands tight, not able to receive all the good that we could get. Mm. The universe wants to bless us. Yes. You know, God wants to give us something better and we are choosing to hold on to this stupid thing.
And that's the thing, man. When we talk about, you know, it's, we say it's not a choice, but it is a choice. It's a process. It begins with the choice. And if you can get the knowledge, it's kind of like, okay, back when smoking was cool. Before we saw all the...
Yeah, by the way, it'll kill you.
Yeah. Before we saw all the commercials and all the whatever, everybody just thought smoking was cool mm-hmm. because of how it was presented. All mm-hmm. the cool, pretty people were just smoking. Then we found out, it causes lung cancer, bad breath, yellow teeth, all these things. Once we were introduced to the truth of something, we were able to make a better decision of it. So when you deal with unforgiveness... I think with me, I'm such a practical, like pragmatic dude. Like sure. I'm very like...
Yeah, black and white.
It's just very like for me. So when I think about forgiveness, I think, okay, I can either be bitter for the rest of my life. And I have an example in that in my family, you know, because I love my mom, but my mom was hurt by so many people. And we've had conversations about it. She's so hurt. Like my dad makes jokes. He's like, your mom's still mad at people that are dead. And I'm like, damn, mom, you really are mad at them. But like, legitimately, that's kind of true. Like, she's mad at dead people. And I see the effects that it has on her. And I just never wanted to be that person.
Yeah.
I wanted to be someone who can look at somebody and truly understand. And here's why. Here's the biggest reason why. When I went through my biggest moment of unforgiveness was when my group broke up.
Yeah.
And the group on crew thing, you know, and it was tough because of how it all went down, you know, the fights over money, the husband talking crap online, the stuff that happened. It was like, man, I didn't try to hurt you guys. Like, I really try to do right by you. And this is how it's coming. And granted, I don't want to act like I only have a side, like so they have their side. But at the end of the day, like, I remember when it happened, you know, there was a moment where I was praying and I was like, God, are you going to let this dude just talk about me like that? Like, are you really going to let him just go online and just talk crap? Like, you need to do something. Like, I was literally asking the Lord, you need to shut this dude up. If not, yo, straight up, if I ever see this nigga, I'm going to shut him up. Like, this is how I'm feeling right now. Like, I'm not the one. So you need to shut him up. Like, shut him up before I do. And I was praying, God, judgment, like judge this guy because you know my heart. I didn't try to do anything that these people are saying. And I remember the Lord, and this is just how the Lord deals with me, man. he's like, if you want me to judge him, then I have to be true to my word. And my word says the measure in which I judge, you judge, you have to be judged in return. So I laugh at all these people on Facebook that I talk to and all these people that are like, they're just judging me so hard. And I'm like, these people don't know the Bible, because this intense amount of judgment that is coming at me, now the Lord has to use that very same judgment on their life. I truly hope they're as holy as they're pretending to be on this keyboard. So in my life, I know I'm not as holy as I'm asking.
As I pretend to
be. I'm like, nah, nigga, you can't. Look at my life. I am not. I am just hanging on. Like, there's grace as a thread. And I'm just like, no, don't shake it too hard. Like, that's me. So when the Lord hit me in prayer, like, I will have to judge you this hard. I backed up so fast. Literally, and even as I'm praying, I was like, Jesus.
Reel back in.
Instantly, I started asking forgiveness. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please. And I started praying for him. I was like, bless him. Bless his ministry. Dang. He wants to be a pastor. Bless his future church. Bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. Because I knew at some point I'm going to need grace. I can't be shoveling all this crap. And this is where it comes to, I think, maturity in forgiveness. Understanding that you too have hurt people, or you will hurt someone. To sit back and pretend that you are a victim and you have never done anything to anyone, that you're just walking around not offending, not hurting, not breaking hearts, that you have the moral high ground to then say, oh, this person did this to me, and da-da-da-da-da, and you hold on to your bitterness and you hold on to your unforgiveness because you feel like you have the right to do it. At least in my life, I have seen how many times I've hurt people, and I can pretty much guess that I'm going to offend and hurt people again in the future. So if that be the case, why the hell would I take a stand right now and try to come at this dude in judgment and in hatred and be like, God, judge him? Screw that. I'm going to sow seeds of grace right now for my future mess up, because it's coming and it's going to be multiple of them. I'm going to say some dumb stuff. And I want people to give me a benefit of the doubt or a second chance. I want them to be like, you know what? Manny, he's a quick talker. He'll probably say some stuff that'll offend you, but I know his heart. He's a good dude. And so because of that, even with my wife, like, she's not like that. She's more like, she gets angry and chill. There are a couple times where she said some stuff that I even had to rebuke her. And I'm the one that got hurt, but she was hurt for me. And I said, babe, be quiet. We are not speaking a negative word about this guy in our house. And because I'm like, I don't want our future blessing to be hindered. These people will do what they want. And when I understand the concept of reaping and sowing, what he is doing, he is sowing, but he is only sowing into his own garden. He cannot sow into my garden. So the negativity, the hatred that he is sowing, he's sowing in his own backyard. So he's going to reap that stuff.
You gave a visual of that while that was happening, when you had to rebuke me.
Air quotes were used.
sorry, Christianese. But it was such a strong visual. And I feel like I may have brought this up on an earlier podcast, but whatever. Here it comes again. So just imagine, like, you standing in the middle of your garden, right? And then there's the guy over there that did you wrong. And just imagine, like, spitting poison to try to get him. You're not going to reach him. It's just going to land right here in your own garden. So the poison that you spit aiming at him, he don't feel that. But it's landing all around you. Look at your whole garden dead now.
That is the process of reaping and sowing. Like, everything that you do or you try to do to someone else, you are only doing it to yourself. So the amount of bitterness you hold on to, you are asking for that to be reproduced in your life, either through yourself or through somebody else being that way towards you, because this is what you are putting out into the earth. This is what you are putting out with your spirit.
That's such a hard thing to remember in the moment, because in the moment, bitterness feels good. Unforgiveness feels good. Anger feels good. In the moment, it feels like righteous. It feels justified.
But remember, the Bible says that. The Bible says that in Ecclesiastes. It talks about, you know, be angry. Like, when you need to be angry, be angry. When you need to be sad, be sad. Be all of this full range of emotion, because you're a human being. But it says, don't sin in your anger. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's in Ecclesiastes, but I'll find it later. It says, be angry, be all these things, but don't sin in that feeling. So be sad, be angry, be happy, be joyful, but in all things, just don't sin. Does that make sense? So as you're being angry, cry, scream, throw stuff, do everything that you need to do to get it out.
But I feel like Angela's going to ask, when does it cross over into sin? How much is she allowed to be bitter?
So, well, I can't say, screw you, dude.
But you can think it.
You're an a-hole. Blah, like, I can't curse him. But so how do you do that? How do you,
I think,
well, sin
like
is,
a practical.
I think that's a personal thing. Like, only you know when you're being malicious.
Well, yeah, just even what you said, like thinking about the one guy that I brought up that I'm like, I chose to forgive
you
him,
tell us
but
his name?
It triggers.
Instagram and address.
But what you're saying about like the judgment that I judge him, I better be ready for that in my own life. And I know I was terrible when I was younger dating. Like, I would use guys. Like, my motto at the time was, a girl's got to eat.
So then let me ask you something. So
that was like...
like your life motto?
You know, like... like, if a guy wanted, like, I knew he liked me and he wanted to, like, take me out. I knew I didn't like him, but I was like, well, I'm hungry, though. So...
well, let me ask you
then.
And
that's wrong.
Let me ask you then. Mm-hmm. Knowing that you were that way, does that not give you understanding of
what...
well,
that's what I'm saying. Now, yeah. Hearing you say that, reminding me about... it's easy to quote the scripture. Yeah, the measure of you judge, that's what you have to... it's easy to quote that. But the visual that you gave is helpful... comparing it to my situation, like, okay, I'm judging this guy for how terrible he was to me as a woman, how he made me feel ABCD.
Well, I always tell at least this. I always tell her when we talk and we have our counseling sessions, I'm like,
Bobise, I have a therapist too, guys.
Yeah, sure. I say, Bobise, don't bullshit yourself. And I will call her out every time I feel like she is bullshitting. And we do that to ourselves so well. And it's back to the victim mentality. We do not like looking at ourselves and admitting that we are as bad as the people that hurt us in some way, shape, or form.
Say it.
Maybe we didn't go as full, and I want to be sensitive to that. Look, because I don't want to attribute you being mad at homeboy is the same of your father molesting you when you were a child. You're not as
That's
bad
not to
as
me,
that.
Everyone.
Yeah. What?
That
no,
was
no.
a general example.
Yeah, a generalization. Like, it's not...
just clarification.
When I say the same, I don't mean that. I mean the outcome of your action towards someone, you don't know how deep it hurt them.
Yeah.
So, but you are still hurting someone.
Right. No, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
I would say as well, Manny does say that to me a lot. That's when I go to Angela and I'm like, I just wanted to vent real quick. God. But I would say it is so important. This is why you have good people around you.
Yeah.
We are very blessed, hashtag blessed, with the people we have around us because... like I am able to verbalize and admit when something hurt me. Don't be the friend to be like, well, you could have it worse, or immediately.
Right. Dismiss.
I don't want to dismiss what somebody did to you as it wasn't. Just forgive. I think that's, again, another thing we can throw at people. That is it's almost another reason to be offended sometimes when someone just doesn't validate your feelings. Manny's not talking about that. He's talking about when I'm getting upset about something that doesn't matter. And that's fine. We've all been there, right? Mm-hmm. But I think for me, going through my divorce with my ex-husband, for me, there were so many reasons to be justifiably hurt.
Yeah.
And what was so, I believe, one of the key reasons that I am standing here today with a better life than I had before I was married, in every sense of the word, honestly, is because of this key of forgiveness. Forgiveness really is freedom. And I think, Manny, maybe what you've been talking to is because you've experienced the freedom of forgiveness, no one can try to argue that bitterness is better.
Yes.
When you have experienced freedom, and I have now, but I think what Angela's talking to as well is the different layers of forgiveness. Because, for example, I made the decision to forgive my ex-husband really early on. And was like, I'm going to forgive him. I will not smell like divorce in 10 years' time. Mm-hmm. I will not be that person that has crap in my front lawn. And you're like, what the hell? Why does it smell like sewage around here? But they're talking about me. Like, I won't. We all know the person that's been divorced for years. You were kind of mentioning, you know, your mom, or I know so many people as well that just hold on to this. Yeah. And I don't want to be that. And so I really made the decision, God, I know it's not going to be easy, but I do want to forgive him. And so going back to Australia, which I've talked about a lot, for those few months to grieve and to really begin to work through the pain of what had happened to me, what my responsibility was in it. Because like you said, mm-hmm. I knew it was whatever role I had in percentage, I still played a role. And yeah. So B, you were talking to that with the, like, we often don't see our side when we're so blinded by offense and unforgiveness. But for me, I did everything I could do in Australia with my layer of forgiving him and really working through things. And I did a crap ton of work in 4 months' time. Like, I did nothing all day except really process and heal. And so that was the point of it. But there came a point where I had done as much healing and forgiveness as I could back in Australia. I knew God wasn't done with me in LA. This is home. So at a point, you have to make that, I would call it a leap of faith, to say, I know I'm about to step deeper into this water of needing to forgive. Like, I'm about to come back to the land where it all happened, where the physical triggers were. Mm-hmm. I was like blessed and lucky enough to be able to go away from that for a while, but I had to come back. So I would drive down Ventura and there'd be the spot we'd always go and eat, or I would mm-hmm. come even here, even this home. We came here for the first time together. This for a while, he had a seat at this table.
Right.
And so for me, it was coming back to you guys and to just trying to figure out what my life would look like now. And that was a whole new layer of forgiveness that I had to go through. And the whole while I made that decision, God, I'm still walking this journey of forgiveness. I had people around me that would encourage me, Elise, let it go. Like, you got to let it go because your world's different. He can't do anything. It doesn't even matter kind of anymore anyway. And then I remember this one conversation I had with Julian, who I've spoken about before, is our pastor and big brother and all the things. But he sat down with me when I first got back to LA, and I was like, sometimes we feel really like proud of our forgiveness journey, like till you talk to someone really close to you and they're like, no, you haven't forgiven. You're like, damn it. But he sat me down in my like office and he was like, Elise, well done. You've done a lot of work to get here. Sorry, I'm thinking about it. And I was like, thank you so much. Thought he was going to give me like a medal or like tell me like, you should preach today. And it was a Wednesday. And so he's like, I want you to get to the place where he could walk back into our church and come back into our community. I was like, oops. Like I said, I am not the one. I was like, that is not going to happen. And he was like, because I want you to reach that level of forgiveness. He said, make no mistake about it. If he walked in, I'm not letting him near you. You have enough brothers around you that aren't going to let him close. And the people around you, we got you. But I need your heart to be so open and so free that if he came to a place where he was like, I need Jesus and the only place I know to go is Oasis, that he could walk into a worship service and you'd be turn around and your eyes would fill with tears of gratitude because you were so glad he was back.
That's real.
I must cuss him out. But yeah. I will tell you, because that became my new goal.
Yeah.
A few months later, in my heart, my stomach dropped in the middle of worship. And for some reason, I'll never know maybe, but I was like, he's here or he's watching online or something. And my eyes welled with tears because I had been praying for him, because my new goal wasn't just, I don't want to hurt him anymore. Mm-hmm. My new goal was, God, I want him to be back in relationship with you. Mm. And I still to this day feel this freedom. Y'all would know I'm not like BSing it. Like, I have my real emotions, but I've never been that healed with something like that.
Yeah, that's good. That's amazing. And I think like what you said, something was so key. And then I want to ask you a question of having community around you and being able to process that with, like, I'm a huge believer in having great people around you because I am thankful that those people can see blind spots in my life that I can't see. Mm. First day I ever got my license, I was so happy. I was just like, yo, this is my first time on the freeway. I'm ready to go.
Hey, merge. Hey.
I know. My grandma gave me a car. I didn't even have like a CD. I had a cassette player.
Okay.
And it was like this like shiny purple BMW. It was just like 1985. Ooh. Like 323i. It sounded dope, but it wasn't that dope. Yeah. I was like, yo, vintage. Your boy's got a hoopty right now. Hop in. And I remember I'm getting on. I'm feeling really nervous because this is my first time merging by myself. And I'm like, oh, God, we're moving really fast. We're doing this. So I start merging on. I look at my rear view, look at my side. And as I start to merge, I hear,
no. Oh.
And I look over and I swerve back into my lane, and this car just like goes really fast by me. And I made the mistake that I didn't check my blind spot.
Oh.
And it's funny because we can get to a place where we're so ready to move on. We feel like, oh, I've dealt with this. Mm-hmm. This is good. And then you got community. You got somebody like Julian who's mm-hmm. just like, hey, this blind spot right here.
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. And I am so thankful because it could have been on my first day I got in a major wreck. Mm. All because I missed the blind spot.
Jeez, that's so
And so it's amazing because now when I drive with Maddie.
Brandon,
I'm like,
come through with the visual.
When, yeah, it's great. I love having Maddie in my passenger because I'm
like,
hey.
We love Maddie. Maddie moment.
I know. I was like, hey, how's my right? She'll check my right. I'm looking at my left. And I know she's covering all these spots in my life. And in a way, I'm so like, much. Yo, I want to live my life like that.
Yeah.
Where people close to me who I trust and have had like these heart-to-heart moments with, I can say, hey, especially in the area of forgiveness, let me process this with you. Is there something that I'm missing in this? Mm-hmm. Because I can't see the full picture. You can't see your blind spots unless you got one of those little special mirrors that fall off whenever you get a car wash. those things don't stay on. You know what I'm talking about, though. They look, they're good in theory. It never works. And again, I want people to have access to me to say, okay, what are my blind spots when it's coming to this? What am I missing?
That's so good, dude. Shoot.
I think, man, it's a touchy subject, but it's one in which having hard conversations or having people around, like you both said, that are close to you, they can at least cry with you when you need to cry, talk with you when you need to talk. And then when your tears are dried and you're all done, it's like, okay, now what can we do? Like what can we do to move on through this process? Because there's going to be some hard decisions to make, like being okay if your ex walks into the same room. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, you know, I got to see my other group members and I didn't feel anything. Granted, I didn't see homeboy, so I still don't know how I feel with that.
You haven't seen him?
No, I haven't seen him. But I know in my mind it's like, man, I think I've accepted, which we talked about this a little bit, which you can if you want to talk more about your parents or as far as accepting and not holding anything against someone, I'm okay with not being okay. And so what I mean is, okay, so with you and your ex, you can get to a place where you're like, okay, I don't wish anything negative on them. But at the same time, I am okay because I recognize that my life is better without this person.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to be any which way. So with me, I'm okay not having this person in my life. So whether we're talking or not, I don't have to be fake with this person. If he ends up walking in the same area, I don't even have to say hi because it's like we're not friends and I'm okay with that. It doesn't mean that I hate you. It just means that this is who you are in my life. This is who you've shown to be in my life. I accept it and I continue to move on. You know what I'm saying? Another Drake moment, because Drake, if you guys don't listen to Drake, he's a really good...
I have a tangible question real quick before a Drake moment. If you were to see that guy walking by... and you know you're not friends, so you don't need to converse with him, would you still do the, what's up, man?
Yeah,
would you acknowledge?
No.
You wouldn't even acknowledge? No. You don't think that shows
shows a little bit of something still there.
No. Yeah. No. Like, if you're, okay, you're walking down a hall.
Comment below. No, I'm kidding.
He's walking down a hall. You're the only people there, so you know you guys see each other.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't, as you make eye contact, be like, what's up, man? Nothing?
No.
No, I say you still got something.
That's not processed.
No, okay.
I'm going to need you to get to the point where he can walk in into the house.
Angela, wait. Do you feel better now about your moment with your guy?
Wait, can I tell you why?
Why?
Here's why. Because before the group dissipated, and I told you this.
I know. Uh-huh.
I went up to this fool and I was like, yo, what do I do that pisses you off? Tell me straight up. Why? Because I want to work on it. I'm tired of pissing you guys off. What do I do? This nigga gave me a laundry list.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. And this is how I knew that me and this guy weren't going to be cool. He didn't ask me once, what can I do? What did I do to piss you off? What do I do? He legitimately thinks he doesn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, but that's his own ignorance.
Right. Mm-hmm. But again, you accept what people show you. You don't overcompensate. So this guy gave me a list. I proceed to work on that list, knowing damn well that even if I got better at this list, he was never going to come back to me and say, now, what can I do to make our relationship better?
Right.
So what that is telling me is there is no desire to have a relationship with me.
Saying hello and being cordial not a relationship. Does not...
No. But cordiality has to do with if we're cool. Like if we can have a conversation. I'm cordial to people that I would actually, if they ask me, what's up, man? Then I would actually converse. Oh, no, man, just chilling. How are you?
You called you with my ex. Okay, that's not. I still have something to work on, clearly.
I don't have anything, whatever.
Found it.
But there's people that I know that they have shown me to have zero concern in my life. So I don't need to be, I'm not going to be mean.
You don't think that's
I'm not
going to
mean mug that guy. I'm not going
to
be like.
What would you do?
Look
I,
at me, this
I
nigga.
Need to know how
if
this
I notice
plays
him,
out.
If I notice him, I just look away. That's it.
I disagree with you on this subject.
Yeah.
Of that little example.
You can handle it any which
your
way.
Your life, I disagree.
Disagree in the fact of how I handle it or disagree that you think I still have something?
I feel like, and again, just because Andrew and I agree doesn't mean that we're ganging up on anybody. But sisters before misters, though. You know what I mean? So
bros before, I'm not going to say it.
You wouldn't. People get so mad.
Hey, I'll say it.
No, I feel like a hello, an acknowledgement of a human being is very different to having a relationship. If my ex walked into a room, I wouldn't ignore him.
Granted. Now, let me preface this. If he came to me and said, what's up, Manny? How you doing? I would say hello back.
But you're just going to pretend that you both don't see each other?
I'm not going to pretend. If I see him and he sees me, I'm going to look away because I'm letting him know, bro.
I don't like you.
No, not that I don't like you. We don't have to be fake. We spend mad years you saying what's up to me.
And that's cool. I'm
and
just
behind
saying-
my back, you're literally talking the most crap and wanting me to be like, you wanted to end my career.
I get that.
You attempted to end my career. So instead of me pretending that this conversation or us saying hi to each other is real when it is not.
Totally.
I don't want to be fake in my life anymore. I'm okay with me and you looking at each other in the face and then keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Because the reality of it is, hey, do you care about me? No. Do I care about you? No. Cool.
Yeah. And all I'm saying with that is I 100% get the fake thing. Like if we were all as authentic as you are, one of the most authentic people I know, and I appreciate that about you. I'm saying I would just be venturing to say there might be still some work there for you to get to a place where you just said that with that girl, that you were able to get to a place where you were still praying to God that he would bless her, that he would bring good things into her life. Yes. I just feel like as your friend, that's the next level that you could
check it. Okay. I took a year to process this. Mm-hmm. I'm not just saying this because I think it sounds cool. The difference between him and that girl is that girl came to me like I knew she would.
So you need everyone to apologize.
It's not that. It's that I made every effort to be cool with this person. Mm-hmm. I asked forgiveness. That laundry list that they gave me, I worked on every single thing. Mm-hmm. I came back to them and said, how am I doing? Better, Manny. Cool. I'm doing better. I'm working. I'm showing you. I care. Last conversation I had with this person. Hey, man. I love how you love your wife. I hope that one day I can love my wife as much as you love your wife. If I had bitterness or anger in my heart, there's no way those words are coming out of my mouth. I 100% meant it. I was a fan of this dude and how he treated his wife. So post that was when this person came after me and tried to end my career.
Got it.
Okay? So what I did, again, God is showing me, accept things.
Yeah.
Just accept how people are. If this person doesn't care about you, then stop pretending that there is something to care about. Mm-hmm. So when people will ask me in interviews, hey, do you talk to these people anymore? My response is no. How's so-and-so baby doing? I don't know. I haven't even seen a picture. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mad at that. I'm just honest. Before, we spent 10 years in a group just lying.
Sure.
Just lying. Hey, how do you guys, whatever? Oh, we started in a Bible study. Oh, we, whatever. And I'm just like.
I feel like you're telling secrets now and I'm scared.
We
started a small group.
It's just very much like we did have a Bible study, but they showed up once. That's it, you know? And it just wasn't real.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, look what happened when I spent 10, 12 years of my life just putting up a front.
I'm just.
Pretending like we're cool. What happened? Nothing happened. We're not even friends. So at the end of it, I'm like, okay, so the one thing I learned from this is always be real and authentic. If someone doesn't like you, be okay with them liking you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you have to, that there's unforgiveness or bitterness. It just means this person doesn't like you.
I agree with that.
Or if I'm not cool with you, then I'm not cool with you. But am I close to being cool with him? Hell no. Because I legitimately pray for that fool all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if he came up and was like, bro, like, or not even sorry, even if he just came up and wanted to converse, I would converse.
Right.
1,000%. Because what he's showing me, again, he is showing me, hey, Manny, you're worth having a conversation with. So I would in turn be like, cool, bro, I will converse with you. I'm not going to shut down and be like, nah, nigga, you need to say sorry first. No, he's showing me, which is a big thing. And I would acknowledge, I'm like, I don't expect him to come talk mm-hmm. to me. But if he did, I would open up. And if he wanted to talk about anything and everything, I'd be like, let's do it. And if he wanted to hug it out and cry, I would be the first nigga to hug it out and cry with him and be like, bro,
mm-hmm.
what's up? What do you need from me? Gladly. My heart is open to this dude.
Yeah.
If he genuinely wanted to take care of my heart. But like I said earlier, I do not give my heart. I do not cast pearls before swine. So I will not give my heart or my attention over.
Or your cordial hello.
Or my cordial hello.
Glance. I won't put myself. That's all I'm saying.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. If we glance, I'll glance, but I'm going to look away.
You said you was going to look away.
Yes. Like, oh, we noticed each other?
We should stop this. We took so much time on this conversation. I love you, Manny.
I think that's a super valuable point. Don't cast your pearls before the swine. Yeah. So for me, there's been a relationship super close for so many years. And looking back on it, I've just had to come to accept reality. Because for so long, I was in denial. You're making excuses as to why this person is here. And all the time realizing, yo, I am spending so much of my emotional equity mm-hmm. into this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And as I take a step back, I'm realizing, oh my God, you aren't investing as much as I am. And that is like, I feel like that's what you're saying.
Yes.
Of like, yo, I am not going to invest any more of this because I've tried. I've done my part. I've been intentional. And now I just realized that you don't want that.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's not waste time trying to act like this could still work, because at this point, the ball is in your court.
Yeah.
It's like, again, like for me, you're on offense. Like, I have given you the ball. I've done everything I can. I've set you up for success. And now you at least have to take a dribble and try and score. But if you're not, then this relationship is going to stay it the way it is. Mm.
And it's okay. That's the thing.
That's okay too.
I think we're conditioned. When you say, Manny, I think you still have a whatever, I think that is a condition, especially inside of the church, that if you're not...
He called you to church.
I know he did. I felt it too. Look, I felt it.
I'm not coming at you like that. I'm just saying that the church has this thing that they are not okay with not being okay. It's you got to make it right. You got to make it right. But what happens when you can't make it right because the other person doesn't want to make
Manny,
it right?
I'm not talking.
You know what I'm saying?
I get it. I'm not talking about trying to be friends. I got people that don't want to be friends with me.
Mm-hmm.
What?
My ex don't want to be friends with me. And we're all cool with that. You're on my side. What, Elise? Stop. Yeah. Don't say that. I'm just saying I have people in my world, or not in my world, that I'm aware we've had conversations. Either we're not as close as we used to be. Cool. That was a season. We moved on and we're cool with it. I just got caught up on this idea, and maybe I misheard you. But if someone's going to look your way and you pretend they don't exist or you refuse to acknowledge it, that's a human being thing. That's where I was like, I'm not saying we're pretending. I'm not saying we're fake. I'm just saying if that guy wants to, you're not going to say, hey, what's up? You're not going to
I didn't say that I was going to pretend he wasn't there. I said, if we catch eyes, I'm going to look away.
That's you.
So same way.
Telling him.
Say your ex. You're in a room with your ex,
mm-hmm.
right? He's across the way.
Where are y'all? Are y'all there or
no,
what?
No, it doesn't
Give
matter.
Me context.
So check it. You're in the room with your ex.
Hallway by yourself.
You're in the room with your ex. You see him. He sees you. Mm-hmm. He looks away. So you're telling me you're going to run up to him and make sure that you have a conversation with him?
No.
Why?
Because if I look at him and he looks away,
okay.
he's given me uh-huh. the message, F you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if he doesn't look away, then you're going to run up to him and you're going to say hi.
I also didn't say that.
So then what's the difference?
The difference is you make eye contact, I'm going to smile and acknowledge you as a human being.
Hello.
I'm not going to look away.
Acknowledging is looking.
Nah, bro. Mm-mm.
Looking away, wait. So you're saying looking away is not acknowledging someone? if you look at someone and then you look away, it's
looking
not,
away sends a very clear message
that we have nothing to talk about.
Right, right, right.
Is it says F you is
it
what
doesn't
that message
say F you.
Is.
See, that again, that is programming. That is programming.
Okay. Because I think people are going to agree with me.
Okay. That's
I brought the people into it. Yeah,
that's a very broad statement. What you are, here's what you're doing. And let me, and this is why I want to call it out, because again, it's programming. Mm-hmm. What you are doing is you are assuming that I have malice in my heart towards this person. That in order, if me looking away, that communicates F you. In order for that to communicate F you, I would have to feel in my heart F you. Mm-hmm. Other than that,
I'm not saying you feel F
No. You're saying that if I look away,
trying to mediate us.
What I'm communicating is F you. That is not true. Mm-hmm. And I think what that's going to do is teach people to freaking front.
Sure.
Don't do that. Looking away is acknowledging that I have no more equity or emotional space to have you in my life. That's it.
Okay.
That is what it is.
In regards to programming, like you said, like we're just programmed to be this way or feel this way. I feel like also in just society programming, the message of you have history with someone that you don't particularly like. Mm-hmm. Awkward, you're at the same restaurant, you pass each other, you make eye contact because they're a human, you eye contact and you immediately look away. In society, not necessarily this is what's in your heart, but the social norm,
not just the church, the social norm,
we have beef because we saw each other, we know who each other is, and we looked away. So we have beef. That's a social.
So then are we saying that we are now enslaved to social normality?
No, but that, but that's just what I'm saying. We're not enslaved to it, but we can't.
I'm asking a genuine question.
We're not enslaved, but we can't deny that they exist.
Oh, no, but I'm not denying it exists. I'm not denying it. I am making a conscious choice. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks. At some point, you have to make a decision on what you're going to do with your heart. Mm-hmm. Who you're going to let access your heart.
I'm just saying a smile.
No, it doesn't. A hello accesses your heart. I don't feel a smile or a hello. To someone who is not, there is no relationship.
Not even a head nod, not even
a... It doesn't need to be that. I don't understand why it needs to be that. It's fake. Why do you guys... Why
you don't
do
have
guys,
to smile. Just I'm not going to smile on my... I'm just going to head nod.
Okay, since we're talking about societal norms, what does a smile mean to someone?
Oh, okay.
Acknowledgement, hello.
Well, no, what is a...
It depends.
If you
are
smile,
we like, have are we smiling?
Wait, let's talk to somebody who's objective. What does a smile mean?
A smile to me represents some sort of warmth, kindness...
Invitation.
We're asking objective here, Manny. Yeah. Don't feed him.
But to me, like again, I think making eye contact and like I think that's acknowledgement.
It's 100% acknowledgement.
So Brandon, you're okay. Like you agree with
like
the fact
I probably wouldn't look away because that feels very like that feels like a very intentional move to like be like no, I want to get out of this moment. I think like I would probably give eye contact just a little nod
that's
to say,
I'm
hey,
saying.
We just made eye contact.
Right.
Not to acknowledge the person that says, hey, we could be cool again. It's just an acknowledgement of like, we made eye contact. Okay, cool. We're done here.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
That's all I'm saying.
A
little acknowledgement.
It doesn't. And I would gladly acknowledge someone if I felt like there was a reason to acknowledge this person.
I got to respect you sticking to your guns, man.
It's to be honest. You can, if you want to be that way, be that way. I have lived too long being fake, and what you're asking me to do is be fake.
And all I'm saying is I'm not asking you to be fake. If you want to look away, look away. I'm just saying don't deny then that maybe, possibly, potentially, I don't know, maybe there's still a little something there.
I don't understand why they have to be connected. That's so weird to me.
I don't think our conversation is going to go anywhere further than that. We're both very, very arrogant human beings.
No, it's that I'm
not, just kidding. I'm not arrogant.
Okay. This is the last thing I'll say. This is the last thing I'll say about it and we can move on. I am not trying to tell you what you're feeling.
Yeah.
You are trying to tell me that because I choose a certain way of action, that there is something in me that is not resolved. So you are trying to tell me that even though I'm telling you, I took a year, my wife as my witness, cried out, prayed every day, not only for myself in my heart and forgiveness, a year, also praying for him for a year.
Yep.
And then to tell you, this is what I feel is true and honest to myself. I do not need to build any kind of fake anything with this person. They have shown me who they are and they don't want to be a part of my life. Mm. Manny, accept it. Be okay with it. Be at peace with it. Because I'm a people pleaser. I want everybody to like me. So old Manny would have ran up to him and been like, oh my God, please like me. I'm so sorry. Let me ask forgiveness again.
All the handshakes.
New Manny. Yeah, I would have pretended. Yeah. I would have went up to him and pretended and be like, what's up? You know, just to make it not awkward. Mm-hmm. New Manny is like, Manny, sometimes people will not like you. And you cannot waste any more of your time or your heart trying to get them to like you. Mm. Be okay with them not liking you. So what I'm telling you is, after a year long of praying for them and asking God, how do I address this? Because I may see this fool. And letting God just settle in my heart, Manny, just be okay. If he doesn't like you, he doesn't like you. Mm. It's okay. Because I know in my heart that the second that dude does open up to me or show me an ounce of kindness, that I will jump all over it and welcome him back in my life and love on him, because I don't want to be whatever, but I just need to guard my heart. And that is what I'm trying to tell people, is guard your heart when people have shown that they do not care about holding it. They don't care. They care about themselves first. It's okay. They're in that place in their life. Mm-hmm. So let me keep that, acknowledge that. And I will not cast my pearl before swine. Yeah. The second that he acknowledges that my heart is worth something to him, then I will gladly open up and be homies again. Mm-hmm. So that's all I'm saying. I'm so, you say that you're sticking to it. I did the work. Mm-hmm. And I know what I feel.
I don't want to open it up again.
You want to keep challenging it.
I don't want
At the end of the day, though, like, you know, you're more in touch, you and the spirit. Sure. Inside of you is in touch of what is going on in your interior world. And so although the outward cues can be taken as something else, at the end of the day, like, what's in your heart, that's really the key. Mm-hmm. And you got to stay true to that.
So outward cues is what it's about. Because like you said, I can attest to the work that you've done. And it was actually what I was going to bring up earlier in the conversation, when you were talking about the girl and how you forgave her and you just chose, and it just seemed like so easy to make a decision, that I was like, that's not real. But then I was like, wait a minute, no, it is real for you, because I saw you do it to people who I actually witnessed how they hurt you. So I was like, okay, that's actually a real thing for you personally. But I think it's just those outward cues, the social norms, how some people may be socially awkward or whatever. Like, they're just socially...
We're not saying you're socially awkward.
Not saying you're socially awkward. I get it. But it's like what you subscribe to or whatever.
And I get it. I may not seem pleasing to some people because of the way I am, because of the way that when I make a decision, I'm okay with certain things.
Yeah.
And it may come off as, oh, this nigga's mad. Like, he wants beef. But it's just not that. I'm okay with that, you know?
And I would say as well, for the people listening, this is one, maybe the first you've heard. This is what we do at the table. We love each other so much. We disagree on a lot of things. And I actually really like what you said, Angela, because it's true. Manny, you really do. This is the work you do inside. So you and I just have different ways of working outwardly. And so and like I said, that's one of the biggest things I appreciate about you, is that you don't BS people. Like, I know exactly where you stand with me. Just like what we were saying before, you'll tell me, stop, like, lying to yourself. Like, just stop, because that's not how it is.
And it's a don't get me wrong. It's a problem, my being so up for... I almost got in a fight in Nashville at the airport.
But we do love you for it. Even if I disagree with the head nod.
I was like, look, I need first class.
Nah, this dude was taking my bag. This dude... No, when we
as
came
security,
and we...
Security, Manny.
We parked the car, all right, and I went into the right lane, and we were supposed to go into the left lane, but there was nobody there to tell us, so I chose the right lane when we were turning the car back in. And this lady screams at us when we go by, oh, ain't nobody gonna check your car then. And I'm like, what did she say? And I get out of my car, I go to her, and I was like, I didn't hear you, what did you say? And she's like, ain't nobody gonna check your car because you didn't come in the right lane. And I was like, what's the right lane? She's like, this one. And I'm like, but there was no one to tell me. Oh, but you see all the cars over here. And the other dude's like mad, like I'm dumb. And so I told the dude, I was like, what's up then? What's up then?
And Angela was like,
I literally was like, yo, so I'm not saying it's good.
You're just holding Bonzo in the car.
I'm not saying that. sometimes my brashness can be whatever, because I get real whatever. But
we love you.
Look, at the end of the day, here's the beautiful part about all of this. Look, this is a journey, and as we showed on this pod, different people, it's different for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like how you're gonna tackle this journey of forgiveness, what you need to do to get over it. Some of you need to pretend like the other person isn't there, because every time you're around them, sure, they can suck you in, and all of a sudden you're back to talking with them and you're on another date. Mm-hmm. So some of you literally need to pretend like this person does not exist. If they come into your world, you need to act like, nope, I don't see him. Yep. I do not acknowledge you. I don't whatever, because you understand where you're at.
Yep.
So however you deal with this forgiveness thing, the process is that you're actually doing the work inside, mm-hmm, that you're not just ignoring them and then also ignoring yourself. That you're not ignoring them and that's also great, ignoring the malice inside your heart.
Yeah.
If you can acknowledge and be honest with yourself where you are at, it is okay. There's no time limit on this. You shouldn't get there as soon, like Brandon was saying, you get there sooner than you should, but that you are working on it, because we promise, at least on this table, we've had the beauty of coming on the other side of forgiveness,
yeah,
and what that can accomplish inside your own heart, inside your environment, what happens, how you start treating people after that. And the awesome thing is, once you do it once, like it becomes a habit.
It's a muscle.
So when it happened to me again, and then again with this pandas thing, like,
yeah,
I'm almost like the pandas thing. It only took me like 2 months to like get over it.
No, and you were very impressed.
Instead of a year.
Thing, watching that.
So, but it's because, wow, I work on the heart muscle, and that's what we want to encourage you guys. Yeah. Like, it's going to look differently. It doesn't have to look like my way or any of our ways.
Mm-hmm.
It can be your own thing. But the encouragement is, work on it.
Yeah.
Like, work on it. Because I heard somebody say unforgiveness is like swallowing poison and expecting someone else
to die. Church.
When somebody told me that, I was like, look, that's like so true. Like,
it is, though.
I really want that other person to feel my pain, so I'm just going to hold on to it. And 9 times out of 10, they just go on with their life, and it makes you even more mad.
And your insides are corroding.
Yeah, you know? And you're like holding on to it, wanting them to like feel your stare, like whatever, and they're just like out having a good time.
They don't see it.
Probably dating somebody else.
Yep.
And you're sitting there just like stuck in life. And I just don't think that anybody really, when you get down to it, I don't think bitterness is worth your joy. That's I don't great. Think unforgiveness is worth your happiness.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. That's my 2 cents. Or my $10.
I was like, yeah, that's a little more than 2 cents today.
It's my $10. I'm just trying to make you rich. That's it.
I would say as well, real quick, with the because I really have to go to the bathroom. The thing about unforgiveness with my journey was I didn't put myself around influences that would remind me of him for a while. So I just didn't go on social media. And I would say social media sometimes can be the biggest influencer for unforgiveness. It can just bait it. Mm-hmm. And so if you got to come off, if you got to unfollow, please do. It was one of the most healing things for me, is to just decide what environments I'd be around. Actually, exactly. Look at that full circle, landing on the same page. Exactly kind of what you were talking about, Manny, is I know what environments I'm going to go to, depending on the people that are going to be there and where I'm at in myself. I'm not trying to lie to myself and pretend I'm going to be okay anymore. I did that for a while. Didn't work. So knowing your environments, what's going to help you, and what we said before, don't rehearse the things you don't need to rehearse. And it's a huge help for unforgiveness to be able to move on. So
yeah. Babe, do you have any last words?
Forgiveness.
More than saying sorry.
Forgiveness. Good last word, Ange.
Solid.
Thank you.
B?
Yeah, I would say forgiveness could become a habit, but it's never easy.
Yep.
That's good. It's always a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It always is. And I like, it's weird because I'm like, the journey of me forgiving my mom, which I talked about earlier, it was a 6-year process.
Wow.
6 years. And like, different years were kind of better. I could be around her. Other years, I couldn't be around her. I'd get triggered and I would get up all these things. And it's funny because I'm in the process of like forgiving a few people right now. And I'm like, wait, I thought this should be easier because I already forgave my mom. Like, mm-hmm, that was the toughest one. Mm-hmm. I think it's just different.
Yeah.
And so I'm like walking this out right now. I like that. I still feel a way towards some people in my life. And so
But you're doing the work.
Yeah. I'm doing the
you're
work.
You're not man. Ignoring it. And I think.
And I'm taking it day by day.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not projecting, like, I got to feel better in a month, or so and so is already past it. The other party is doing great.
Yeah.
But that's not me. Yeah. I'm me. And I got to, like, be true to, like, this process that I'm on and however long it takes and whatever it looks like in my life.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's it.
Hey, man. Wherever you're at in this walk, I think all of us at some point either have dealt with it, are dealing with it, or you're going to deal with it when it comes to this unforgiving thing. Someone's going to hurt you. And guess what? At some point, you're going to hurt someone else.
Yep.
Have grace. That's the only thing that we can pray. Like, sow grace in your life right now. And for those of you that are in the middle of it, we may not understand what you're going through, or we may not understand, but we may not know specifically what you're going through, but we do know that the outcome of forgiveness is healing.
Yeah.
And I think we can agree at least on that, that you want to be healed. We all want to be whole and we all want to be happy. So whether or not we know your situation, we do know that the answer, or at least the benefit for you, is forgiveness, because on the other side of forgiveness is happiness, and it's a life that was meant for you. You know, it's a beautiful life that is meant for you. And I'm going through this with my brother, where he's realizing all the crap that has happened to him and how much he wants to hold on to unforgiveness. But as he's stepping back and realizing that the other party is just a mess and they're just not nice, a nice person, we're actually like laughing at the fact that, man, you got spared. And I and Bobis, we talked about this too, because you're finding out a lot of the stuff that's coming out, just like my brother is, like, what, this person did this and that, and then you start thinking, wow, now that this person is not in my life, look like what I missed. I could have been so much worse. And what turned out to be the main hurt in your life is now like, thank you, Jesus.
And that goes back to our first episode of that. The greatest moment for each of us was a moment of death that you then look back on and go, oh, that's where the adventure started.
Mm-hmm. It's where it starts. So here's hope for you. There is that moment in your life that when you recognize it, you accept unforgiveness, you start the work, there's going to be a moment where you look back and you're going to be like, wow.
Absolutely.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And we hope that for you. We pray that for you. We're grateful for you. Every single person who turns on this podcast, every single person who subscribed, we love you so much. Mm-hmm. We're honored. We're humbled. And like we always say, we hope that you have a seat at the table. But if you don't, you're always welcome at ours.
Always. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Look at yours with your kombucha, babe.
You kombucha girl.
The booch.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.